Hello everyone, this is G Money with the Black Ops team, and with me today is my co-host Booker T, and another Black Ops member, JT. Today's topic, reopen the schools during a pandemic. That's right, we're going to talk about the thought process of reopening the schools during a pandemic. All right, let's go. Okay, so tell me, what are your thoughts about sending our kids back to school come August and September?
I think it's a bad idea. I think it's insane that the government is literally releasing criminals like Michael Cohen and others, saying that it's dangerous for them to be in a jail or in a prison, but it's safe for little kids to go back to school where there's hundreds of other kids. They recently opened some schools in Omaha, and the schools that my god kids go to. And three kids immediately got the coronavirus and one of the teachers. And they don't really have a plan. So what they did was they said, well, we're just gonna isolate that particular group. So that particular grade, the kids who were in classrooms, those kids were able to go back home and do online learning. They've already been exposed though.
Right.
So I think that it's foolish to have these kids go back to school with no plan. And why is it safe for kids to go back to school, but it's not safe for like a Michael Cohen or a criminal to be in a prison because of the coronavirus? That makes no sense to me.
Now, let me get this right. Most colleges are doing distance learning.
Absolutely.
Most colleges. Those, 18 to 22 year olds. And the concern is why? Because they can't socially distance. It doesn't make sense. And why would we create a super spreader scenario, right? Where one person has it, you commune with 100 other people. Now those 100 other folks are exposed to it. They take it back to their families. Now you got 400 people exposed to it, so forth and so on, right? Because you only need one person in that scenario to be a super spreader.
But what doesn't make sense to me, although those colleges and universities aren't requiring their kids to show up in the classroom, a lot of them are requiring them to show up on campus. So we're not going to have classes like we used to, but we want you to be in the dorm setting or on the campus areas. All that's going to create is a chance for these kids to party and come together. It makes no sense to me that they're doing distance learning from the classroom perspective, but still expect them to be in the campus area, in the dorms, or somewhere near campus. That doesn't make sense to me either, because that in itself is also setting up for a situation where kids are going to group together, commune, party, whatever, and become more susceptible as a group or a crowd, and then come home during breaks and bring it back to their family and their parents. Doesn't make sense to me at all.
Right.
How do you tell kindergartners through ninth grade to socially distance? Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, kids are used to interacting with it. And I hear this jackass make these comments. Well, kids don't get that sick. Well, we're not sure if kids spread the disease like everyone else. Yes, dumbass, you spread a virus. It don't make a difference what age you are. You
right.
Get it on your hands, you touch a surface, it's on the surface, right? Like, you have it, you sneeze. Okay, those fluids are in the air. You're spreading right. The virus. How does that change for a child?
It's worse with kids, because when they sneeze, they don't cover their mouths. Like
right.
But
I'm just saying, they talk about some, well, kids might not be able to spread it as much. What? How does that make any damn sense? That's like that's a jackass comment. Like, okay, they spread a disease like anything else spreads a disease. Okay?
They spread it worse because they're
because they touching everything.
Disgusting little incubators of germs. Like kids
right, exactly.
Spread.
Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
Kids go to school and what? They build up their immune system because they're always catching colds and everything else when they're younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we all know that. That's kind of like, what everybody knows. It's been apparent, right? So why would you think sending them to school is a good thing?
I think they don't care about the kids. They're sending them back to school so they can say they're getting parents back to work. That's the
this issue. Is all about Trump having a good economy. That's all mm-hmm. this is about.
Absolutely.
There's no other reason other than right. Trump wants a good economy.
Right.
But don't so give me a bullshit reason saying kids can't spread the disease. How do kids not spread a virus?
But why are you expecting truth from this administration when they've never given it to you before?
But what I do expect is truth from their doctors.
You
people
can't
in the CDC
even,
are not theirs.
Look, where's Dr. Fauci? Like, you barely see him. Nah, half the time, he's not even invited to the meeting.
Yeah, for the last 2 months, he hadn't even spoken to the president, he said. For the last 2 months.
Exactly. That's my point. That's
yeah, my like, okay. So we're not listening to science.
Right. So I agree with JT. I think that it is not a good issue. I mean, a good solution for them to open the schools up at this particular point in time. So one of the questions that I asked my superintendent was, well, how's the cleaning regimen going to be different? They said, when you turn around and you've got children, we're going to be going into the flu season. As it is, you know, they're runny nose and snotty nose kids, and they have all kinds of germs that they're bringing to the school. They're touching the railings. They're sharing their pencils and things of this nature. How is it that you're going to protect against this if you've got the same level of custodial staff that you had previous? And what is it that they're going to be doing that's going to make us feel that much different? They talked about that based on their limited amount of teachers, that the minimum amount of students that were going to be in a classroom was 22. How are you social distancing with that number of a large population of students in one classroom? So what they really need to be doing is trying to put together a more robust online offering for the schools, because I was not impressed at all with what they threw together. We have to be concerned about the children wearing masks for 8 hours of the day. Ridiculous. I am definitely against it.
The other thing he mentioned, like the online classes, but there is like a technological divide between, you know, people from in certain socioeconomic classes, right? So there are some people who don't have internet at home. There are other people who don't have laptops or, you know, tablets at home. How are all these kids from marginalized communities going to access like an online platform? How are you going to guarantee that?
That's a very good point. Now, I will say, and again, I only can speak about Connecticut because I'm familiar with that, that they talked about providing not only the tablet so that they could access it, but also hotspots just in case they didn't have internet. So yeah, it's kind of forward thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, G?
A lot of the school districts are doing that. I've heard that both in New Jersey. I've heard that in Florida, Pennsylvania. So I've heard that in all the places that they're trying to provide these kids with tablets that don't have tablets, as well as Comcast and some other providers are actually providing free Wi-Fi for kids in schools who are online. So I actually think that's helpful. I think the process that's happening is actually going to decrease that divide of technology that we usually have when it comes to people of lower socioeconomic groups.
Right, but not all states are doing that. Like in Nebraska, my stupid hometown, they are giving kids laptops, but not internet. So I'm like, what's the point of having a laptop if you don't have internet service at home?
That's kind of difficult.
Now realize also, some schools are looking at it differently. There are really three opportunities. One, send your kids to school full-time, like before, like there's no difference. And I think you saw that in the picture from the Georgia school where a kid took in the hallways where the hallways were crowded and no one was wearing a mask. Option two is a hybrid, 2 to 3 days in school, 2 to 3 days out of school, and therefore they get a chance to split the student population in half. And therefore it's half as crowded as it used to be in the schools, and they take some precautions within the schools. But to me, the hybrid is kind of like half broke, right? And then the last option is virtual. And everybody agrees that, of course, kids learn better being in the classroom directly versus virtual, but virtual is still the best option considering the health crisis we're in today.
And then you also have students with different learning styles. Like for me, I can read a book on a notebook, like a tablet, but I would prefer to have a book in my hand. So it's like you have to consider different learning styles and the capability, like the abilities of the kids and the students.
Yeah. No, I think all that's important, right? I guess what we're saying is it's not ideal for the kids to be or online right. going to school, right? And we all know that's not the ideal scenario for especially kids kindergarten through eighth or ninth grade, right? That's not ideal for them. The right kind of learning environment that produces the best educational situation for them. But if it's that, or going back to school with a pandemic going on, yeah, I'm taking the online.
Absolutely.
So, because you know what? Because I can spend some extra time with my kid on the weekend, getting them up to speed educationally. Right. Mm-hmm. What I can't do is spend the weekend watching my grandmother on a ventilator because, mm-hmm. you know, my kid brought something home to the family.
You mean, right. And you can't even be present with them if they're sick mm-hmm. in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we sending kids back to school, but we're releasing prisoners because of COVID? Like, that makes no sense to me.
Right. No, it doesn't. But again, this is all about trying to get his economy back on track. Mm-hmm. And as I said from the beginning, until you solve the pandemic, the economy is not going to come back.
Absolutely.
Because people are not going to trust going out and engaging, period. Now, don't get me wrong. People are getting more and more comfortable going out. I see more and more people out and about every day when I go walk the dog or just go out, you know, mm-hmm. to take a walk. But I'm like, okay, that's all nice. But you see, we're a hot spot here in Florida. So mm-hmm. why risk it? And why send your kids back to school? I know when I talk to my brother about my niece and her going to school, you know, I put them on Connections Academy real quick because that's an online school, right? Uh-huh. Like, because that's what they do. They do online school. They're not a school trying to be online, which is what most of these schools around the country are trying to do right now.
Right.
Shift, and they're not yep. built that way, right? Connections Academy is a online school specifically designed that way over a number of years. So they understand how to create the right curriculum and how to deliver it and how it should be designed. In addition to people and kids, you know, reporting for class every day and doing those things, it's a different mindset than what we have going on with a whole bunch of public schools trying to figure out how they deliver classes online today. Mm-hmm. And again, those classes are a lot more difficult to me, kindergarten through ninth grade, where typically they have a whole lot of interaction with the teachers and they're doing crafts and arts and all that good stuff. That's more complicated. But if you're, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, you're doing trig, you're doing algebra, whatever the case might be, you got English class, you know what you got to do, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to necessarily sit in class and listen to a teacher talk about it all day, every day. They're risking your most precious asset, your child, to try and save the economy. That's how greedy these people are.
This is something that came up in the parents' feedback to the school administration. There are parents that are asking for this. Now, they're asking for it because they got to go to work.
Because it's daycare. Because it's daycare for them.
Well, so I'm going to go a little further than that. The reality is some of these parents don't want to have to deal with their children. Now, it's Absolutely. one thing you don't want to have to deal with them, so you're fine with sending them to school so that for 8 hours they're out of your hair. I get it. But in that same premise, you don't want to lose your child. So on one hand, you're like, go to school because some of that stuff I can't help you with anyway. And they can turn around and they can handle that. And for 8 hours, I don't have to worry about it. But the alternative is they may go and they may end up coming back and being sick, getting you sick, or ultimately expiring as a result of this. And that's not something that individuals are thinking about. But, you know, when you're faced with that hard choice of being able to put food on the table, mm-hmm. since many families are, with many being unemployed, you know, this is one of these things. And I'm saying, but you can still accomplish it by virtue of them being able to learn digitally. It doesn't address the daycare aspect of it. But I mean, we're talking about their lives and the lives of our children. I mean, you know, so in my mind, it is too high of a risk and an unnecessary one because we have the means in which to provide a much safer alternative. And it should be explored.
Mm-hmm. Most schools have what? 200 to 400 kids in them?
Yeah, not more than that. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I know my son, when he graduated from high school, there was like 1,400 kids in his high school. Something crazy. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm sitting there thinking, so you can you imagine 400 kids in a school? You only got to have one kid or one administrator or one teacher that's got coronavirus.
But and you're talking about like an elementary school. Like imagine the junior highs that have way more kids in them, right? They have a graduating class of, you know, 1,000 kids or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. So think about it. So they got, so let's take 400 kids. And those 400 kids go back to four people in their household. Okay? That's 1,600, right, people. That quickly impacted. Not to mention all the other connections they might have and who they might interact with. That is, one person can impact 1,600. How is that a positive thing in any scenario?
But then also thinking about everybody else. So you have the kids, the teachers, then you have all the people managers working in the school, the cafeteria folks, the school bus driver. Like it can have a crazy domino effect. And I don't think anybody's having that conversation.
And why? That's what I keep saying. So why do they want to do it?
Because the economy.
To that point, JT, on the buses, they're not practicing social distancing. There will be two children to a seat and what have you. So again, this is like you're violating all of the rules that are in place for the rest of the general public as it relates to our children. And we're doing that. Why?
And you can't, how can you social distance on a bus? I was on a flight this past weekend and the middle seat is empty, but still there's somebody right in front of me. Right?
And right behind you.
Right. 2 feet in front of me, 2 feet behind me. So it's like, I think we don't have a plan and it's because we have a failed administration. And what it is they want people to go back to work. So they're trying to send kids back to school. They don't care about these kids, but they don't care about the people. That's how the pandemic got out of control in the first.
And I told you this before, Booker. Remember I told you they're going to cut that unemployment from 600 down?
Yeah.
Right?
Talking because,
They cut it. They try the proposal from the GOP is 200 now instead of 600. An additional 200 a week. So they cut that bad boy down to a third of what it used to be. Because the concern, again, is getting people back to work. See, now they're not trying to help people. They're trying to spur them to get back to work. But you can't get back to work if there's no jobs available.
Right.
Or it's going to be a false start like California. They opened up and literally 2 days later, they had to shut back down. Like, I think they need to be more thoughtful in how they're trying to reopen these cities and what they're doing with these kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But again, there is no game plan. Like I keep saying, until you solve for the pandemic, you can't solve for the economic crisis. It can't happen. Because people aren't going to do it. So right now, so let's do some economic flow right now. So you want the economy to come back and you're thinking sending kids to school will help that. How will that help that? What more jobs will that create?
None.
Now the parents, you can make the parent, that makes the parents available to work.
Right.
But they can't work.
Where are they going?
right. If the economy doesn't increase. Well, how does the economy increase? Well, I've already said before, right? 66% of the economy is consumption. People go out and spend and do that, right? They spend restaurants, the whole nine yards, hotels, travel, right? We consume retail or, you know, outlets, the whole nine yards. Well, all those things are down to this, like a slim percentage of what they used to be. Why? Because people don't feel safe. Until you make them feel safe, they're not going to go out there and do that. You're not bringing back the economy because you're sending kids to school. What you're doing is a jackass thing that's actually going to put us more at risk of getting infected in the pandemic.
Right.
But that's not how they think about it. They're like, oh, we just send them to school, then the parents will be free to go to work. Work where, dummy? You got to create jobs. What are the jobs these people who are staying, who don't have to stay home now, what jobs are they going to do? There are 50 million unemployed people. What are they going to go do?
And all of them are applying for 10 jobs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Instacart, Amazon, Walmart. Right?
Yeah, like he, mm-hmm. right?
Those are the ones that are hiring. And oh, by the way, not at the same pay levels that these people were making before.
Right.
So now what? That's a problem. And that's a concern. So my point is, no, fix the pandemic, increase the testing. I've now talked to multiple people, especially in Florida. It took them, I think it took one person 14 days to get a result back, 10 days to get a result back.
It took me 12. I got my results back 12 days later. Yep.
How the hell does that help you? Who the hell did you interact with between when you took the test and when you got the result over 12 days? Mm-hmm. Right? How does that help bring back the economy if you don't even know if you should be sequestered right, or isolated for those 12 days?
Right. Absolutely.
Now, why is it you go to Germany and you get a test back in 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Because their country took control of testing. Here, we got 50 different freaking ideas on testing because we got every state doing their own damn thing.
And some people who aren't even qualified to test, so they're getting false results. Yeah.
Right. So again, if you can't test, if you don't know if you're even sick or who's sick or what's sick or what's up or down, should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask? Is this a hoax? Is it not a hoax? Well, he created this shit that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Sending kids back to school ain't changing our economy. So he's got to do something else to change the situation. That's the only way it's going to work. Sending the kids back to school is going to make it worse. And guess what? The first time a child dies of COVID, watch that shit blow up.
Well, first time a white child dies. Be clear.
Sorry. Let me restate that. Thank you, JT.
Be clear.
First time.
Right.
First time.
A white child or a group of white children. So the infection rate looks like it's greater in white children than in kids of color.
Right.
Because then they're going to be like, oh, then they're going to want to be trying to sue the state, trying to sue the governor, trying to sue everybody else. And that was, by the way, that's one of the things they haven't talked about. When they talk about in these stimulus packages, they're also trying to put language in, legal language, that you cannot sue if you get sick or die of COVID in any of these situations.
They've been doing that for years. Like they put a lot of that language in the farm bill every year so that when they were thinking about trying to help illegal immigrants get citizenship, I actually had to go to DC to advocate, not lobby, to advocate for them to not do that, because they were saying like you can be an illegal immigrant and get benefits like food stamps, and like the stipend, but you can't, for whatever reason, if you get that assistance and you can't get full citizenship, like if you're getting food stamps and that type of assistance, you're in limbo with a green card or whatever until however that works. But they do that all the time. They throw language in there because they know that no one will read it. Mm-hmm. And they know that they can use it to like control groups of people.
Right. So they're saying, and they're also talked about, we can actually throw some funding in for the schools that reopen. And I'm like, you have to fund the schools anyway. They're right. Reopen because if they're going to do social distancing, you can't send them all to school at the same time. Something. Plus, you got to clean these schools like never before, to Booker's mm-hmm. point. Right. And my hope would be, you know, it's funny because they can say, well, you know, in Asia, the kids are going back to school there and it's not really been a problem. Yeah, but if you look in Asia, they're giving the kids stand in line. They give all of them a temperature check before they go. They spray them down with some kind of, I don't know, disinfectant or something, right? They spray them down, literally.
Right. I saw
in the classroom, socially distanced.
And each one of the students' desks has a glass covering or face shield that goes all the way up above the student's head and on all three sides of the desk.
And they all got masks on, mm-hmm. right? So, and they all stay in their rooms for the majority of the day. They don't go to the cafeteria, food's brought to them, the whole nine yards. So it's a completely different environment.
Hey, so to one of those points that you've made about the temperature check that they're doing in China for students, in Connecticut, they said that they're not doing that. So for these other schools that are opening up, the question is, are they even doing that? Are you even taking some of the minimal steps to turn around and to try to understand, do you have a walking COVID case that's about to enter the school and wreak havoc? No, you're not even doing that. To parents that might be listening to this podcast, is you have to think about these things and make sure that you make the right decision for your child and your family. Because clearly these people that have been put in charge are not making decisions that are in your child and your family's best interest.
We say this is almost, you know, a war in itself. So why aren't we spending those, why aren't we reallocating those resources to focus on this?
Well, so I'm gonna say something that would be obviously controversial in that if you look through the lens of population control, I gotta appear that I'm trying to do something that's in the public's best interest. But at the same token, in order for the effectiveness of this coronavirus that is out here, in order to increase its mortality, I have to make sure that the exposure is able to continue to propagate. So you got conflicting interests that are here, although this interest that I'm talking about is not being discussed in the public and mainstream media in that vein. So this is why you look at these decisions and you say, this makes absolutely no sense. You're going to do this with our children, but you're going to do this with our criminals. Mm-hmm. And but if you turn around and you put that prism on it that I just said about population control, it starts to become clearer as to why some of these decisions are being made.
Well, there's conversation about it being population control, and that's a fact. Like, it wasn't until the research started showing all the data that is disproportionate, where people of color were the ones that were most impacted by COVID, right? And it was the Hispanic folks because they were working in the meatpacking plants. It was the Black people because they were working a lot in the service industries and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So as soon as the data came out, I think like the second month that it was mainly people of color who were greatly impacted, all the white people were, okay, let us cool. go outside. Let us go outside. Look, we don't need no masks. Like, you know, and that's a fact. I mean, that's not controversial. That's fact. There's research and there's data to prove that. That's true. And just like we're talking about disproportionate minority contact when it comes to law enforcement, it's the same thing with healthcare. You have more people who are impacted by this virus because they already have underlying conditions because of the disproportionate healthcare that they have access to. So right. you're absolutely right. It is population control. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. So both of y'all want to be controversial today. Is that what you're saying?
Well, here's the thing. If we can be honest, Trump was like, fuck them kids. Real talk. Yes. That's what he really want to say. He's cool. Like, fuck, he doesn't care.
Well, I think it was funny when someone asked him, so what's Barron doing? Is Barron going to school? And he was like,
He's like, who was that? I haven't seen that kid.
His kid's not going to school with the rest of the kids. Nah, he ain't going to school with the rest of the kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I always ask the question. So all y'all senators and congressmen and all y'all people, y'all sending y'all kids too? Y'all sending y'all kids to school?
They got private tutors.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm homeschooled. Oh, yeah, okay. Now you're saying you homeschool. JT, Booker, anything else in closing?
Don't send those kids to school.
No, don't send them to school. Just don't send them.
Send those kids to school.
In that motion.
So what Keisha Bottom say? If y'all don't get back in the house, she said. No, so, I think that parents need to really consider all other alternative options other than just sending the kids to school. And recognize that by sending them to school, they're putting their whole entire family at risk, their extended family. Right. And that's a hard decision, but like, do you want your kid to be dead or do you want, you know, want to send it back to school and just, you know, go with the flow? I think that sometimes you have to take a stand, especially when you're considering like a life, like your life, your child's life, your extended family, your grandparents, whatever that may be.
In closing on this topic, I want to give you a couple of my thoughts. First is, if you're Black or brown, don't send your kid back to school. let them do it through virtual learning process. Yes, it's not ideal, but based on this health crisis and the impact that it's had on our community, it's best that you do things virtually. It's not worth the risk to your children. And let me speak a little bit about that in terms of risk to your kids. They keep talking about there is little risk to your kids, and that's just not true. Kids haven't been exposed as much. They're not working on the front line. They're not service workers. They're not first-time responders. So most of our kids have been shielded. But the minute we put them out there and expose them to this, the more likely we're going to find they can get it. They can get sick. They will get sick. And unfortunately, some of them will die. It's not worth it to us. Please don't do that. The other thing is to understand medically, 20 to 30% of the injuries in reference to COVID-19 have affected the heart. And 30% of people who have died of COVID, there has been a strong relationship, 30%, that have had heart issues. Well, those can sometimes generate over time and might not be seen initially up front. It's not worth the lives of your kids, not just today, but in the long term, the fact that they might have a heart condition based on being exposed to COVID-19. Definitely not worth it. The second thing I would say is, for the teachers out there and the parents out there, if you do have to send your kids to some kind of hybrid school or something of that nature, or even some of the teachers who have to go into school, even though they're doing online training, I would tell you to try and figure out a way that you can figure out how to do a testing regimen within your group. So if you're a PTA group, what you might want to do is you might want to galvanize the parents to take their kids to get tested the first of the month, every month. So you can identify early who might be infected before they infect everyone else. And definitely with the teachers and the teachers union, whether you're doing it once a week where all the teachers go get tested, or once a month where you go get tested, you might want to do that as a group or a coalition or a union. Therefore, you can quickly identify those who have been infected before they have a chance to infect others. So, and some of you teachers union just might want to stand up and have a blue flu or a COVID flu call out until people get the message, especially if they're trying to do in-classroom learning, which doesn't make any sense based on this pandemic, especially if you're in what I call black or brown communities. Please don't put our children at risk and our future at risk for doing this. They don't care about you, they don't care about us, and they don't care about your kids. So you got to make sure you protect your most precious possession, which is your child or your children, and make sure that you put them in the best situation, not just for the immediate, but also for the long haul as well. That will be my suggestions in reference to going back to school. Yes or no? The answer is absolutely not. Okay. Thank you, everyone. And once again, I want to push vote.org. Make sure you're registered to vote. Make sure you understand how your mail-in process works. Make sure you understand what places are available for you to vote in your area to make sure that you have a chance to vote come election day. But make sure you have a plan. Don't forget, get out and vote. Thanks again for your time. Black Ops out.